world is confronted with a great danger. The danger of subjection to the United States. This danger has been growing for some years, but is now coming out into the open. President Johnson has announced that his government will not tolerate a new communist government anywhere on the surface of the globe. And he has shown that he counts anybody a communist who opposes any part of United States policy. This policy will lead to disaster if it succeeds, and to still greater disaster if it is tried and fails. Let us deal first with the latest and most flagrant of United States misdeeds, namely their intervention in San Domingo. The history of this island, ever since it became free from Spain, has been changeable. But we need not go further back than the collapse of Trujillo, who was murdered in 1961. He was a corrupt tyrant with whom the United States government easily preserved amity. After his death, the policy of the new authority was to establish a democratic government by popular election. The leader of this policy was Bosch, who is a moderate liberal. In the general election, which occurred in December 1962, he obtained a large majority, but he was ousted from power by a coup in September 1963. Johnson, but not Kennedy, recognized the government which came into power after Bosch's defeat. This government, like all other opponents of Bosch, favored a corrupt dictatorship, completely subservient to the United States. There was revolt against it and in favor of Bosch in April 1965. And it is to suppress this revolt that U.S. troops have been sent to San Domingo. The argument used in favor of sending troops is that the United States will not tolerate in the Western Hemisphere any government whose principles it dislikes. Nominally, the United States favors democratically elected governments, but in fact, as in the case of Bosch, it objects to them, because they favor economic independence, which the United States government calls communism. The present United States enmity to the followers of Bosch, who was popularly elected and is still admired by a large majority in San Domingo, is due to the fact that the United States government objects to economic independence of any portion of Latin America. This cannot, of course, be avowed, and therefore various pretexts have to be invented to account for the presence of United States troops. They were sent, we were told, to safeguard aliens in San Domingo and to ensure their safe evacuation. The number of aliens thus evacuated in the first few days was 4,067, and to effect this rescue, 19,363 United States troops were thought necessary. The plain fact is that the United States government is determined that the governments of all Latin American countries should be military tyrannies guided by the economic interests of the United States business. Any subjection to this policy, any objection to this policy, is labeled communist. Cuba, for the moment, has to be permitted to exist. But the United States government has made it clear that it awaits only a favorable moment to restore a subservient government on that island. Meanwhile, the United States has hoped to use its organization of American states to put a gloss of international cooperation on its actions in the Dominican Republic. But Article 17 of the OAS Treaty states categorically that the territory of a state, and I quote, may not be the object, even temporarily, of military occupation by another state, directly or indirectly, under any grounds whatsoever. End quotation. In San Domingo, the United States, assuming its moral right to control the Western Hemisphere, has acted to preserve this sphere of influence. In Vietnam, the United States is waging a massive war on the boundaries of China. China, because it is a communist country, is not permitted to have a sphere of influence. That would be aggression. There is one law for the United States and another for the rest of the world. Both laws are made in Washington. When the Vietnamese finally overthrew their French colonial masters in 1954, settlement was achieved at Geneva. The terms of the agreements made there were entirely admirable. Vietnam was to be neutral and independent. All foreign troops and bases would be excluded. The country, temporarily divided, was to be reunited and remain neutral. And the Vietnamese would be permitted free elections for the first time. Although these arrangements had the full sympathy of the Vietnamese, the Chinese, the Russian, the French, and many others, the United States refused to sign them. Dulles, laboring under the delusion that neutralism was immoral, set out systematically to destroy the Geneva Agreements. He quickly arrested the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. He quickly created the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization to consolidate the United States' sphere of influence in the area, and without a shred of justification, intervened in Vietnam. It was the United States alone that prevented free elections in Vietnam, and it has continued to prevent them to this day. Elections are only permitted if their result is acceptable to the United States government. And as President Eisenhower recognized at the time, at least 80% of the votes would have gone to the national hero, Ho Chi Minh. From that time, the United States became more and more deeply involved in the affairs of South Vietnam, until it was clear to the whole world that it was directing and financing a full-scale war of atrocity against people whose only crime was that they desired independence, free elections, and no military alliance with any nation, east or west. Washington's argument was simple, if fallacious. We hold, he declared, that the Vietnamese hate communism. Therefore, we shall murder some of them to make their hatred of communism more evident. Consequently, they will love us. Vietnam became a proving ground for every new weapon. Napalm was showered down from the skies to roast people alive. Chemical weapons, called defoliants, were used extensively on scores of villages. Peasants and their heads had their heads blown off by new bullets, or their bodies chopped up by steel splinters. 8 million Vietnamese were herded into concentration camps called strategic hamlets, and a further 500,000 were conscripted to keep down American casualties. This army, in the name of the free world, managed to disembowel 8,000 of their fellow countrymen by cutting off their livers whilst they were still alive. When it became apparent to the United States that not even $2 million a day could buy enough friends, and the war in the South was being lost, the bombing of the North was started. North Vietnam appears unlikely to give way in the face of this naked aggression. It is highly probable, therefore, that unless the United States changes its policy, China will be drawn in. China has undertaken to protect North Vietnam if necessary, and the United States is ready to bomb China if necessary. Further, the Soviet Union has undertaken to go to war in defense of China if China is attacked by the United States. It follows that the persistence of America in its present policy leads to World War III. World War III, if not nuclear, will lead to undecided guerrilla warfare. How long America will be content with such warfare cannot be. It will be a year, or 5 years, or 10 years. But sooner or later, America will get tired of this indecisive kind of fighting and will resort to nuclear weapons. This will mean the end of civilization, if not of man. For this reason, it is of supreme importance that ways should be found of stopping America before it is too late. I very much welcome the motion which you are taking at Berkeley in this sense.